gospel today begins with a seemingly insignificant, perhaps, detail, and that is that Jesus comes to a town of Samaria. This place, Samaria, it was a region north of Jerusalem, in between Galilee and Jerusalem. And normally, if someone were to go from Jerusalem to Galilee or back and forth, they would avoid Samaria. No good Jew would travel through Samaria. They would go around. The reason being that at the time of the Assyrian exile of northern Israel, the Assyrians took away most of the population and left only a few behind, which were considered inferior, and those that were left behind intermarried with the Assyrians, and those became the Samaritans. So the good Jews that returned from exile wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans, who they considered unclean. They were not worthy to be dealt with, and so you would go around Samaria. So it's not so insignificant that our gospel begins today by saying that Jesus is going right through Samaria. Jesus does not go around the more difficult issues of his day, nor the more difficult geographical areas. He goes right into the heart of the problems. We see this over and over again, whether it be the fact that today he's in Samaria or his dealings with women. Jesus had women as his disciples. Today he's talking with a woman. Very countercultural for his day, but it was a problem, and so he went right to the heart of the problem. Jesus, of course, meets with tax collectors and even Gentiles. He breaks so many of the social standards, standards that were created to kind of dance around a problem, to kind of segregate it off and not worry about it. So much of Jesus' ministry is going to the problem areas, saying, I know this is painful, this is difficult, and that's why I have to go there. Because Jesus comes not to avoid problems or even accuse people of their problems and their faults, but primarily to bring healing. And certainly that's what we see happening today with the woman at the well. To confront problems head on. That's what Jesus' ministry is really about, but it's also what Lent is meant to be about. You see, we begin Lent with Jesus going out into the desert. In the desert, there's no place to hide your problems. It makes very clear the need for water. It intensifies rather than hides the desires for food and water. We're meant in our lives not to try to hide our desires, even our disordered desires. We can't cover them up or put them somewhere and treat them like Samaria, where we just keep going around them. Jesus says, especially during Lent, don't hide from the problems. Let's attack them head on. When he goes into the wilderness, that's exactly what he does. Rather than hide from things like thirst and hunger, he goes to the wilderness where they will be intensified. Until you know the real thirst for water, you don't understand this kind of desire. I myself had a little bit of experience of this that we just take for granted here in the United States, that we always have water. I mean, you go to the faucet, you turn it on, you let it go down the drain, you let it keep running. Water just seems to be everywhere, and we don't even think about it. But when I traveled to Jerusalem, even in the modern Western city of modern Jerusalem, we were staying in a pilgrim house there, and it was a little bit kind of up on a higher part of Jerusalem. And our particular rooms in the house were on the top floor, which was like 6 or 7 floors up. And we found out very quickly after we had been in this place for only a couple days that if you didn't get up early enough and take your shower by about 6 o'clock in the morning, by 7 o'clock in the morning, the water level of Jerusalem had dropped below our floor of the building. So you would go to turn on the shower and nothing would come out because there's just not that much water in the Holy Land, even to this day. Jesus goes out precisely to engage this kind of thirst, this lack of water. He wants to feel that desire. That's the great lesson for us from this gospel today, to stir up our desire water is the symbol of that today. This woman comes to the well day after day after day to get water. It's a drudgery. It's not an easy task. She has to walk all the way from her house, bring her bucket, fill it up, take it back, and do this over and over and over again. Jesus comes to her and says, "If you would ask me, I would give you living water." She thinks that this spring welling up inside of her that Jesus talks about, she thinks of physical water, that this would be great. I wouldn't have to keep coming back to the well every day. But of course, Jesus is going much deeper than just this physical water. He himself says to her, "Give me a drink." He comes with his own thirst. What is Jesus thirsting for? More than anything, spiritually speaking, Jesus is thirsting for the faith of this woman. It is the thirst of faith that Jesus means to stir up in the woman and in us during this Lent. We see that represented especially today in our elect who gather with us today for the scrutiny. This last couple weeks of Lent is meant to stir up their own desire for baptism, that true living water that Jesus will soon give them to become that life of the Spirit welling up in them. All of us that have been baptized have this living water. But what do we do with it? Do we recognize it? Do we use it? So many times in our life, rather than when we feel these desires, we feel that something is unfulfilled. What do? Do we go to the wilderness to intensify it, to confront it and conquer it? So many times I think we're like this woman. Rather, we have our own little wells that we go to when confronted with a painful situation, with a problem. Rather than go right through it like Jesus, we want to cover it over, dance around it. What are the wells that we keep going to over and over and not being satisfied? What do we do to medicate the pain, the suffering in our life, to avoid confronting it? You know, I began Lent with what people are now calling the cookie homily, where I talked about my own temptations of being confronted with cookies right after Lent had begun and I'd given them up. You know, that may seem like a trivial kind of thing, but I know in my own life, when I get back to the rectory at the end of a long day and maybe things have been frustrated and I'm just not feeling very good, it's so easy to go to that false well of grabbing food or turning on the TV or going to the computer, doing anything to kind of distract myself from maybe what I really just need to sit quietly in the desert of a quiet rectory and confront. And we all do this, and there's no shame in that because we're all tempted in that way. How easy it is, rather than look at the problems we need to, we turn on the TV, we go for food, television, power, sex, money, greed, whatever well society gives us, and we just keep going over and over and over again, and we're never satisfied. Jesus today says, "I will give you living water, the water of grace in our baptism." We can't go around our problems. Notice that this woman, when she is confronted with Jesus, he doesn't come to condemn her. He knows all about her past, her five husbands, which themselves represent a desire to be filled, and she hasn't found that fulfillment. And all of a sudden, there she is in front of Jesus. She says, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who can really fulfill her desires." Imagine her joy when Jesus says to her, "I am He." It's the same words that Moses hears God say on the mountain, "Ego eimi" in Greek. I am. God has come to her that day, and he offers her living water, yes, but freedom from the past. He says, "Let's confront these five husbands that you had," not in a condemning kind of way, but in a way to be free. That's the great message of Lent. God wants us to go into the wilderness, to attack head on our problems, not to go around Samaria, to go right in there, not that we might wallow in guilt and darkness and feel depressed, but that we might be free. that we can hear him tell us to get up and go, to not be afraid. I am he and I am here. The well in Scripture, often associated with marriage. It was often at a well that someone would meet their spouse. We think of Jacob and Rachel, Moses and Zipporah. Here today, Jesus confronts this woman, not without coincidence, at a well, where he says, yes, you've had five husbands, and now the one you're with is not your husband, but now I am here. Jesus, symbolically through this woman, proposes a marriage of God with the human race. God wants to marry each one of us, to lift us out of this slavery to our desires, to a new life of freedom, as the beloved bride of Christ in the church. I love the ending of this. It seems like a small detail, but after this encounter, it says the woman leaves her bucket at the well and runs off to tell everybody. That bucket, that symbol of her day after day having to come to try to fulfill this desire from this well that will never fulfill it. Now, having encountered Jesus, she runs off leaving the bucket. I think that bucket alone at the well would be the best symbol of Lent we could ever have. To leave our bucket at the well for a new life in Christ. A new life as the bride of Christ in the church. This Lent, Jesus confronts us. He comes right into the midst of our pain and suffering, and he says, I want to make you free. I want to give you living water. We pray that this Lent, like our elect, we might find this living water, and that we too might leave our bucket at the well and run off for a new life of grace with our Lord and spouse.